See, what Bhagavan wants to say in this is, when we see the ocean, we are inseparably able to see the water. We see the water, we will see the ocean. We see the water along with the waves. Seeing the waves, seeing the ocean, in no way prevents us from seeing the water. When we're experiencing the light or opaque things here, even though we don't pay attention, without saying it's understood, experiencing every opaque thing, we're simultaneously experiencing the light also. Isn't it? The same way, when experiencing all these elements, elementals, mobile, immobile beings, along with his experience of the world, why can't we experience Bhagavan in terms of reality? We see only the forms because of the diversity, because of the plurality, because of the countlessness, innumerability, countlessness, variety, it's huge, it's incomprehensibly vast. We see the forms, but we are not seeing the truth. As we see the truth, we are not seeing the truth here. Truth of truth means that without which this will not exist. Isn't it? We are not able to see. Why? Because therefore, we do not know what is really, and what is as though is mistaken to be the real. Therefore, we mistake it as a source of dependency also, and become dependent. And when, because of the world being what it is, how can empirically, relatively real world of objects, time-bound forms, names and function, time-bound forms, how can they give you timeless happiness? There's expectations and frustrations and disappointments, and misery. And why it is not revealed to us? Na aham prakashara sarvasya. Why I am not easily recognizable or visible, perceptible, knowable for everybody? Ahamna prakashaha means I do not shine. I do not shine for everyone. Sarvasya ahamna prakashaha. Because yoga maya samavrtaha. Yoga maya samavrtaha. What is this maya which covers the truth? To understand, we need to understand through the model of sleep. Okay? There are three things I said. Layaha, pralayaha, mahapralayaha. See, this knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am, obtaining in the form of a thought, okay, when it is there, we call it a waking state of mind. Okay, then the waking state, when this external world of objects also shines. Jagrat avastha, and we have jagrat prapancha also. But when this knowledge of the self, existence of the self, in terms of I am, obtaining in the form of a thought, when it is resolved, or resolves, it is not there, it resolves. Then the knowledge of the existence of the world also is not there. When the both this knowledge is not there, you call it total ignorance. It's called avidya. Clear now? What avidya is a state of mind which is called a deep sleep state. When there is total ignorance, you do not experience pain or pleasure also, and you are free from pairs of opposites. When you yourself are not there, how can you have experience your pain and pleasure? Therefore, what you experience is bliss. I said, whenever there is avidya, there is bliss. It's called bliss. And that is what happened to you. There is layaha. Layaha means temporary resolution of the knowledge of existence of one's own self. It's called layaha. Temporary resolution is called layaha. Why temporary? Next day morning, even if you are a Kumbhakarna, at least 10, 11 o'clock, at least 12 o'clock in the midday afternoon, you will wake up. At least when your stomach tells kring, kring, you will wake up. Even if brush or go to eat, at least wake up. So every day we are woken up. And we want to wake up, we are woken up. By whom? Our prarabdha karma phalam. Every day, day after day, after day, after day, after day, we are woken up by our prarabdha karma phalam. To exhaust what is ordained for us that day. I have to come all the way to London to teach in Yashoda's place on this date to eat kakras made somewhere and exported and sold somewhere in the shop and bought by Sachin and brought to this place. Can you believe? Some cake has to come from Wimbledon. Isn't it? Everything, what I'm saying, how prarabdha. Prarabdha karma palam. What pleasure, what pain, what sukham, what dukkham, whatever gain or loss, whatever we need to experience, we go through. And for which nimittam is what? Study, Vedanta study. Retreat is the nimittam. And the people involved in organizing all nimittam. It's not in our hands. I never thought I was going to do this class. I don't believe in when you're telling me also. But happening means it is definitely Bhagavan ordained. Prarabdha karma phalam. Prarabdha karma phalam wakes us up every day to exhaust the punyam and papam we have in our account the day. Not a big papam. It's all punyam only. We're enjoying pleasures. It's all pleasure now. Isn't it? Exhaustion of punyam is going through some pleasures. Some simple time on pleasures. Some back pain, the seat is not okay, the last small problems. I am very comfortable, okay? I'm always in sukham. What I'm saying, see, very comes and says yes. So part of the wakes you up. Every day we wake up. And one day we wake up, after waking up we say bye, or we don't even wake up. We woken up. That means Parabdha has come to an end. When the Parabdha finishes, isn't it? Then you leave. The mind leaves the physical body. Sukshma leaves the physical body. Sukshma leaves the physical body means mind leaves. When the mind leaves, along with the mind, all the 15 powers also leave. Pranas leave, 10 powers also leave. Powers leave means what? They all remain resolved. Which means, when the mind, it doesn't have physical body, means it cannot become functional. When the mind is non-functional, how, when the mind which is present in the alive body, when the mind is present in the physical body also, it becomes non-functional, then there is no manifestation of knowledge. There's no, nothing is known. Everything becomes blank, isn't it? Exactly. When you fall asleep, what happens to you? All of us go to bed happily thinking nothing will happen to us. falling asleep is not a destruction of the self. Whenever you fall asleep, is it destruction of yourself? No. Are you destroyed or killed? Nothing happens to you. In fact, in sleep, you are just yourself. Whenever you are yourself, there is sukham. Being yourself means what? Not having any identity. Not having wrong identity is sukham. In sleep, you do not have any wrong identity. Why do you have a wrong identity? You have no identity at all in sleep. How can you have wrong identity? Whenever you are free from wrong identity, there is sukham. You are yourself. What should I do for me to be myself? To be yourself, you have to avoid having wrong identity. Okay? That's what people say, just be yourself. Oh, what a profound statement, my God. Just be yourself. What do you understand? Just be yourself. People come and say, it's all very profound statements. I tell you, being yourself means being in one's own place. Being in one's own place means reveling in fullness, being happiness, being the fullness, being yourself. To be yourself, you do not do anything. You have to be free of wrong identity. And that is your strength. We are free. Free from fear of death, free from fear of anything, free from fear of death, no fear, free from anxiety. It's called being yourself. Being yourself means being free of wrong identity. In sleep you have no identity, therefore there is no wrong identity possible. Therefore you are yourself in sleep, which means whenever this knowledge is not there, whenever there is avidya, you are just yourself. What has become laya? What is resolved? Laya means resolution. Resolution of what? Resolution of the knowledge of the existence of your own self, obtaining in the home of thought is resolved. And Shastram says, how you are unafflicted, untouched, untainted by the world or the body or the thoughts or the sense organs or anything in sleep, how you are, exactly you will be in death also. Only for the person, people around you will be missing your physical presence. But you are very safe. Mm-hmm. How you are, and if you want to know how I'll be in death, how exactly you are in sleep, so you will be in death also. Only thing is, in sleep, non-functional mind is present inside the physical body. In death, non-functional mind is outside of the physical body. Which means what? The body is no more present in the physical body. Understand? And the mind will be non-functional until it assumes another physical body. And don't ask me what happened to the mind all that. Just tell, this much is enough for you. Okay, mind assumes another physical body. So after death also, you will be exactly like how you are in sleep. Only thing is, the world will be as good as non-existent for you. You will not know your own existence. You will be without knowing your own existence, without knowing the existence of the world. The same blankness will continue to be there. In death also you are comfortable. That is why we also say, people say, aandhu urangugirar, People always say that they have long sleep. Death is a longer sleep. Nothing happens to you. That is why you perform shraddha, offer food, whatever they like with the previous janmas. Okay? Only difference is, this sukshma mind, assuming another body, in keeping with the new set of prarabdha, when it reappears, okay, to other mother's womb, the rebirth is not for the Atma. Atma, how can Atma take rebirth? Atma is the... Atma cannot move, isn't it? Atma is unmoving. It is the mind. We talk about the mind, isn't it? Mind also is an incomprehensibly subtle phenomena. So this mind also, what happens? The mind, assuming another body when is born, again this I, knowledge of existence or self, obtaining in the realm of thought, which remained resolved for a long time, again wakes up. But unfortunately, you will not know anything of the past. Okay? It'll take 2 years for this person to have identity. Ahankara, to develop ahankara. I am mine, I will not give. The child develops ahankara when becomes 2 year old. Until the second year, the child does not have eye sense. Eye sense may be there, no identity possible. That's why no child says, it is mine, I am. Child doesn't say. When the second year comes, that is when develops ahankara. That's why they call it terrible too. Okay? Until then you are a Buddha. One year, second year, you pick up ahankara. Then, okay, again you live. So, death also, only thing you do not know anything of the past. Completely new moment there, new body, and you are new. Everything as though completely new life begins, the life begins. What happened to you? Nothing. You are safe. They say, once in 4 yugas. My God. Mm-hmm. You want to know how many years, number of years? I give big mathematics, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to count. So, 4 yugas. Once in 4 yugas, the entire universe will become again unmanifest means. What will happen that time to you? Be very happy. You will exactly like how you are in sleep and death. That's called Mahapralayaha. So, everyday layaha, death is pralayaha, Mahapralayaha, in dissolution, deluge also, you will continue to be the same. How exactly you are in sleep, how exactly you are in, you know, death, you will be in Mahapralaya also, nothing will happen to you. How, okay, in Mahapralaya? Mahapralaya has to be understood. At least here, because you in avidya, in sleep, you are experiencing avidya. No? You are in sleep, but you cannot talk about your experience in sleep. But on waking up from sleep, you can recollect your memory, your experience. You can talk about it. But after death, after Mahapralaya, when you come back again, again new manifestation comes. You will be in a new physical form and all that, but you will not remember any of the past. Therefore, understand, there also, so this avidya, what experience, what is, avidya, how you are in sleep, so you will be in Mahapralaya, and pralaya means what you are there now. In Mahapralaya, what is there? When you are there, not knowing that you are, okay, what is there is Mahapralaya time is called Maya. Understand Maya in terms of avidya. But you cannot come back and talk about the Maya. Oh, I had a very longest sleep, very nice. Everything was resolved. This is what is Maya. Can't talk about it. No way. you cannot talk about. Everything will be forgotten, and forgotten, come back fresh. You don't even know it's a new yuga. In fact, is it clear now? So Maya, really speaking, this Maya will resolve for good. If we discover what is the truth of Maya. The truth of the Maya is in fact truth of the whole Jagat, which is the truth of yourself. To discover what you are, the ignorance of what, in discovering what you are, the truth of this world becomes discovered, then Maya will be resolved for good. Maya will not be there afterwards. Will not be there means what? Not be there means only truth alone is there. Is it clear now? That is why Maya is said to be as though. As though means it is not unreal. It is not absolutely real also. It is why I give example of water and stillness. You say water is, stillness of water is, what does it mean? You can't count the stillness. You can just say water alone is. Because stillness is not something countable. Similarly, when the stillness undergoes a change, and the same water continues to be there in the form of waves. So waves also are not countable. Because there can't be waves. The waves are water. Understand? It's mithya. It's not there. So, actually speaking, only water is there. The same way, what is there is only knowledge. There is no... Listen, when the knowledge of existence of self resolves, all the thoughts resolve, this blankness of mind, when you say, you call a state of mind, then what is there is what? Just you. You are. That is what is the pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Is it clear? The same thing is there. See, you have to, because this, what is he trying to understand is the very mind, isn't it? You have to use the same mind to understand everything. That is why it seems very difficult. Repeated listening will make you much subtler. Become clearer. Okay? If you understood well and good, not understood, so don't worry at all. It's natural for you not to understand. There'll be a time you'll understand. Okay? Is it clear? See, that is why how to cross Maya. Don't break your head to understand Maya. Is there Maya there or not? Don't break your head. Bhagavan says easily, Mayam yetam taranti. Without even understanding what Maya is, you have to overcome Maya. How? Mameva ye prapadyante. Those who aspire only for me, those who discover me as their own swarupam, then they overcome Maya. Is it clear? That is what is said here. To discover Bhagavan, to discover Ishvara, Swarupam, as Swarupam of the whole, the only way is you have to discover the same Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as your own Swarupam, as the truth of I.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Mam tu vedana kaschana.
Mam tu vedana kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Maam tu vedana kaschana.
Maam tu vedana kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Maam tu vedana kaschana.
Maam tu vedana kaschana.
So Bhagavan says, Veda aham. Aham Veda. I know. Aham janami. Aham vedmi, aham janami, aham veda. I know. I know what he says. Bhutani. I know all the beings. Bhagavan says, I know all the beings. What does it mean? There is no knower of any being here other than the reality. Please remember, Bhagavan, I know all of them means don't think us nice. Bhagavan says, I know all the beings. Aham Veda Bhutani. I know all the beings means Bhagavan knows all the beings. Bhagavan knows all the beings means the only knower of all the beings is Bhagavan. Only knower of all the beings is Bhagavan means Bhagavan. Only knower of all the beings is the truth, the reality, the absolute truth, ultimate reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is thereby implied with the term Chaitanyam, consciousness. Isn't it? The knower is consciousness, but consciousness is not the knower. Okay? Pure knower is the reality, the pure knowledge. But knowledge is not the knower. The knower is knowledge. The knower is knowledge. But knowledge is not the knower. You know why? Knower is only a qualification attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the known. Second thing, knowing is not an action. If it's no action, you can say knower is the reality. The reality is the knower. Consciousness does not do the act of knowing. Very nature is knowing. Reality is nature is knowing. Like you can't say illuminator, I can say illuminator of this all opaque things is the light. I cannot say light is the illuminator. In a way, from the standpoint of the light, you can't say light is the illuminator. The standpoint of the light, light is not the illuminator. Listen, because illumining is not an action. The standpoint of the opaque things which are illumined, the illuminator is light. You got the point? So illuminate is only a temporary title, name given to the light from the standpoint of the illumined opaque things. Is it clear? Similarly, there is no knower. Elements are known, elementals are known, time is known, space is known, all the forms and functions are known, everything is known, 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 known. Even ahankara is known, your thoughts are known. Everything is known. If you see, everything known is what? Jagat. Known is apara prakritihi jagat prapanchaha, the objective universe. And who is the knower here? The knower is only knower. Many knowers are not there. The knower is the reality. And reality, why does the reality know? Knowing is its nature. Therefore, we use the term knowledge. Okay, jnanam, shuddham, jnanam, shuddham, chaitanyam is what? Here, the knower is the reality. Nothing in the world, the known can never become the knower. The known can never become the knower. Why? The known is dependent on the knower even to enjoy the status of being existent. How can the known, which is dependent on the knower consciousness to come to light, to enjoy the existence, how can it know the knower? Therefore, the known will ever be the known. Okay, knower will never become the known. Known can never become the knower. The knower will never become the known. Is it clear? Light can never become the illumined. From the standpoint of the opaque things, the light will never become the illumined. Why? The illumined, opaque things are dependent on the very light to come to light. How can they become the illuminator of the light? No. Light will ever be the illuminator of the opaque things. Opaque things will ever be the illumined only. Subject can never become the object, or can never become the subject. Okay? Bhagavan says, therefore, aham veda. The knower of the past is also Bhagavan. Knower, the one who obtained as the knower in the past is also, definitely was what? The timeless reality which was there before. The same timeless reality which continues to be there timelessly, eternally, is the knower in the present. The same timeless reality, beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless reality, eternal reality which is going to be there in future also, is going to be the knower. The knower will, the known will be undergoing changes. The knower will ever be there as the knower of the changing world of objects. Is it clear? So that's why Trikalagyaha, Bhagavan is said to be Trikalagyaha, the knower of past, present and future. That's why Bhagavan is said to be three-eyed. No? Trambakai Yajamahe. Why Trambakha Bhagavan? Because knower of past, present and the future. Who is going to be the future knower? Who is going to be the future knower? Even after janmas, after janmas, after janmas. If there's going to be a knower, who will be the knower? I tell you, knower of anything in future also will be the same eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless reality, all-pervasive reality, the consciousness. The knower. Present also the knower is whom? The same reality. The same reality was the reality, must have been the knower in the past also. The known objects may be undergoing changes. The knower is the only changeless reality. Is reality the knower then? No. Reality is not the knower. But who is the knower then? Reality. Knower is the reality. Reality is not the knower. The reality, impermanent consciousness or pure knowledge, is it? Chaitanyam, Atma, Brahma is what? Not the knower, but the knower is Atma, Brahma, Chaitanyam. Okay, but no object in the world can ever know the consciousness. The reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness can never become the object of knowledge. Why? The entire objective universe, which is of the nature of inertness, inert matter, is dependent on the consciousness to become the known, to come to light, to enjoy the status of being existent, will never be the illuminator of the reality, consciousness. Okay? Bhagavan is what? Aham Veda. Do you understand what I'm saying? Aham Veda means you have to understand here.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Mantu vedana kaschana.
Mantu vedana kaschana.
Yes, aham, hey Arjuna, aham samati tani bhutani veda. I know all the beings which existed before and which had gone before. Samatitani. Atita means which has gone. Atita means that which has gone is atitam. So atitani, samatitani means those beings which existed, which enjoyed the status of being existent for some time and now which are not there, which came, existed, which have gone. Aham Veda. It means I was the only knower, I was the only knower before. Samatitani Veda. Vartamanani cha, and Arjuna, Vartaman, at present, which are being existent. I am the only knower of all the beings which are present, which are existent and present. In the present. Vartamanani. Bhavishyani cha bhutani. The same way in future also, all the beings which are going to be in future, I'll be the only knower of the beings which are going to be in future also. Why? Beings which were there in the before are not here now. With different form they are, okay? And which are now will not be in future. These same forms will not be there. And in future there'll be new forms, isn't it? So between matter will continue to exist undergoing changes in different forms. But the consciousness as the illuminator, knower of the matter, will continue to be there changelessly. The changelessly existing reality, changelessly eternally existing reality will be there, illumining, knowing the the matter which continues to exist undergoing changes. Is it clear? The Bhagavan, where is the time? Time itself is known, isn't it? Bhagavan is timeless, time of time. Okay? Kala rahita kala kalagni. Om namaste Rudra. Namaste astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trimbakaya Tripurantakaya Trikala Agni Kalaya. Trikala Agni Kalaya. Isn't it? Kala Agni Rudraya. So Bhagavan is the time of the time. Timeless time of the time. Kalana ke kalam. Doer of the time. Which means, understand the timelessness of the reality. Consciousness is ever timeless reality. And there is no knower illuminator other than the reality in terms of consciousness. Therefore, only truth is consciousness reality. Therefore, Bhagavan is the truth, the consciousness, which is the only knower of the past, present and the future. He says, hey Arjuna, samatitani bhutani aham veda, vartamanani bhutani aham veda, bhavishyanicha bhutani aham veda, and the only knower always, the known matter also was not created, not destroyed. It continues to exist for undergoing changes. Okay? Changelessly existing reality is what? Consciousness. Absolutely eternal reality is consciousness, and the matter also is beginningless, endless, indestructible, but it is of the nature of undergoing changes. The change on the part of the matter is called relative destruction. There is no absolute destruction of anything here. Change is relative destruction, and the changing matter is object of knowledge, and is only knower of the changing matter. Here is the consciousness, and between they are not separable. Okay, physically separable. Therefore, Bhagavan says here, Aham Veda, but Kaschana Mam Veda, but nothing, no being in the world ever knows me, which means consciousness can never become the object of knowledge. Is it clear? Bhagavan can never become the object of knowledge. Oh, Bhagavan can never become the object of knowledge. How can I know Bhagavan then? I am the knower. I want to know who Bhagavan is. How can I know Bhagavan then? Bhagavan can never become the object of knowledge. That is why you can never, we know, no need to know Bhagavan as an object of knowledge. No, you can discover Bhagavan as yourself. Okay, you don't need to know Bhagavan as an object of your knowledge. You know Bhagavan as your own Swarup, yourself. Is it clear?
Iccha dvesha samutthena. Iccha dvesha samutthena. Dvandva mohena bharat. Dvandva mohena bharat. Iccha dvesha samutthena. Iccha dvesha samutthena. Dvandva mohena bharat.
Dvandva mohena bharat.
Sarvabhutani sammoham.
Sarvabhutani sammoham.
Sarge yanti parantapa.
Sarge yanti parantapa.
Iccha dvesha samutthena.
Iccha dvesha samutthena.
Dvandva mohena bharat.
Dvandva mohena bharat.
Sarvabhutani sammoham.
Sarvabhutani sammoham.
Sarge yanti parantapa.
Sarge yanti parantapa.
Okay. Now Bhagavan says again, Sarvabhutani, he parantapa sarge yanti. Sarvabhutani sarge yanti. Sarvabhutani sarge sammoham yanti. Sarge means in this creation. Sargaha means creation. Srishtihi means creation, feminine gender word. Sargaha is also means creation, it's a masculine gender word. Sargaha srishtihi. Okay. Sarjanam also means what? Creation. But new to gender word. Sargaha, sarjanam, okay, srishtihi. Visrishtihi, visarjanam, visargaha. Okay. Means creation. So what is creation? When the unmanifest becoming manifest is creation. There is no real creation. Manifest becoming unmanifest is what? Dissolution. There is no real destruction. And here, in this so-called creation, in this universe, in this creation, Bhutani Sammoham Yanti. Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Yanti means all the beings get deluded. In this creation, don't be worried. Only I am deluded. Bhagavan says, you don't be worried. All the beings in this creation are deluded. But now, there is nobody's exception here. all of us are sailing in the same boat happily together, or no, as deluded beings. Okay? All of us are equally deluded. All the beings are deluded in this creation. Sarva bhutani sammoham yanti sarge. Kimartham, where do they get deluded? Isn't it? Where do they get deluded? Is it? Because dvandva mohena. Dvandva mohena. Dvandva mohaha. Okay? Dvandva mohena. Dvandva mohena, they give salute, deluded. Dvandva moha means what here? Pairs of opposites, isn't it? The delusion caused by pairs of opposites. All pairs of opposites we go through. Pain comes, pleasure comes. Sukham comes, dukkham comes. Pain and pleasure. Success and failure. Loss and gain. Honor and dishonor. Victory and defeat. These pairs of opposites will be there in life. Everybody. And Krishna says in second chapter, remember second chapter, when do we go through the pairs of opposites? Matraha tu sparshaha. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shita ushna sukha dukkha daha. When you wake up from sleep every day, whenever your sense organs come in contact with the corresponding objects in the world, when you start perceiving, experiencing the world, you can't help, you will be going, they'll give rise to experience of pairs of opposites. Oho, let me keep our eyes closed. You can't decide to do that also. You are meant for using, and your needs are there, your biological needs are there, emotional needs are there. You have to, you have to maintain the physical body, you have to do things, you have to use all of them. Isn't it? They're meant for you to use. But when you use them, when you come in contact with the society and the people, situations and things and objects, naturally they will give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. And those pairs of maybe desirable, maybe undesirable. Isn't it? Pain is undesirable. Pleasure is desirable. Sukham is desirable. Dukkham is undesirable. Nashtam, gain is desirable. Loss is undesirable. Honor is desirable. Dishonor is undesirable. We'll be going through pairs of opposites. And they are determined by what? Your own punya papa in your account. In keeping with the partha you go through. The present situations actions you do, they become nimittam for you to go through what? Nimittam for the old punyapa to manifest. But these pairs of opposites, they have their own nature. Thank God, they are of the nature of coming and going. Agama apayinaha nityaha, they are impermanent. See it? They are of the nature of coming and going. Pleasure comes, one day will go. Hardly pain comes. Pain also goes. So loss comes, loss goes. Gain comes, gain goes. All the pairs of opposites are of the nature of coming and going. They come and go. Why? That is the nature. Agama, apayanaha, anityaha. They are all time-bound in nature. But they are determined by Bhagavan of laws. In keeping the punya papa you have in your account, but they become manifest, for which the present karma you do, the present things you do, become nimittam, instrumental. Is it clear? Therefore, then moha comes. But what happens? You cannot see, I am here as the knower of everything. I am distinct in my body, my hands complex. The punyam is my state of mind, comes and goes. Papam comes and goes. Sukham comes and goes. Dukkham comes and goes. I am only the knower of everything. You don't see that. I have punyam. I have papam. I go through pain. I suffer. I have pleasure. I have, isn't it? I am angry. Anger comes and goes. You can't say, I am. Anger comes. Oh, anger has come. Hi, come. Go. We never say that. We never say, what do you say? I am angry. And not only you are angry, my God, You don't even know how what is happening, isn't it? Completely. Which means how the reactions also there, isn't it? And you don't even know what's happening. We are all mad. We are mad. I mean, we think only people who are inside the somewhere chained are mad. We are also mad. Okay? A certain degree of madness is there. So then jealousy comes, anger comes, hatred, lots of things comes, isn't it? Why? Sarge, sarva bhutani, all the beings. Now they deluded, they remain in, you know, sammoham yanti, they remain deluded because of this dvandva moha. Because delusion of dvandva moha. What is that? What comes and goes, isn't it? Is really taken to be our own. Delusion. And why do they happen again? How do they come from? All icha dvesha samutthena. They all rise from their own likes and dislikes. I like it, I don't like it, isn't it? It's a raga and dvesha. So icha dvesha samutthena. Because there's a raga dveshas are there. What I want, what I don't want. What I like, what I don't like. The desire, there's something called a desire. Okay, which is also very natural. You are not a creator of your desires. The desire is in two forms. I want this to happen means it is desire. It's a like side of the desire. I want this not to happen means there's also want. Okay, the dislike side of the desire. So likes and dislikes, agadveshas, are the two sides of the one coin called a desire. Okay, and the likes and dislikes are there, desire is there, and the desire is naturally there, therefore the agadveshas are there. Because it's agadveshas, what happened? When these situations we go through, dvandvas come and go, dvandvas, or we are deluded by these dvandvas. And this is how we remain deluded in this creation. All the time, whatever happens to anything in the world, we are afflicted. And whatever happens, our own physical body, mind, complex also are taken to be, you know, superimposed upon the self. See it? Deluded. So, icha dvesha samutthena. Suppose, remember, if there is no desire at all in your mind, please understand, Shastram does not say not to have desires. Shastram does not say it is wrong to have desires. Shastram does not say it is wrong to have likes and dislikes. Shastram says there is desire which is naturally. The ragadveshas naturally. You are, ragadveshas are naturally. Isn't it? Why? I told you already, because of your wrong notion that you are, I am inadequate, I am small. The sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I is the fundamental problem. And because of it, there's a pressure to become bigger than what you are. Therefore, there's something fundamental desire, under which desire is now in the form of all of the desires. Therefore, there's always likes and dislikes naturally. For which the root cause is ignorance. Ignorance being the root cause, always there are likes and dislikes in your mind. You can never get rid of likes and dislikes unless and until you resolve the ignorance. I like it, I don't like it, I hate it. This will be there. Why? Because raga dveshas are there because of what? Because I am dependent on the world for my happiness and security. I think there are some people in the world who are very, very nice people. Some things are very good things which make me happy, which make me pleased, which are supportive of me, help me. They're nice people. Okay, they're all what now? I like them. Okay? I think some people in the world, some things are nice to me. Some things, some people who are not good to me, because of them I go through loss, because I suffer, they become what now? When I think world is responsible for my unhappiness, there is dvesha. When I think the world is source of happiness and security, I have raga. So raga and dvesha, or because of my erroneous perception of the world. World is neither the source of happiness or security, nor is the world responsible for my unhappiness. Nobody, nothing in the world is responsible for my unhappiness or sorrow or any of the problems I go through. Nobody is in the world, nothing in the world is responsible for whatever I am going through. Similarly, world is not the source of happiness, security also. If this is, the world is just the world, okay? If you understand this fact, you will neither have hatred nor have any raga or dvesha towards the world. Understand? Now, raga, dveshas, you can't help them. You come in contact with things or raga, dveshas. Because of my wrong, erroneous perception of the world, a source of happiness or security, as so responsible for something, is responsible for my unhappiness, the world becomes what? I have raga and dvesha towards the objects in the world. When you experience the paths of opposites I go through, so it's all because of raga dvesha. The raga dveshas are not here. The desires are not here. Okay. What does it mean? Then I will not be deluded by paths of opposites. I will not mistake the paths of opposites as my, I will not become a victim. I take them to be afflicting me. So paths of opposites will not afflict me. I take them as my problems if I am free from ragadveshas. Ragadveshas are there because of the wrong notion I have about myself. And that is because of ignorance. But as long as ignorance is, so long will there be wrong perception, so long will there be ragadveshas, and so long will there be, what now, afflictions of this caused by pairs of opposites. And that is how we remain deluded in this world. Is it clear? If you're not clear, okay.
Iccha dvesha samutthena dvandha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharat
dvandva mohena bharat
sarva bhutani sammoham
sarva bhutani sammoham
sarge yanti parantapa
sarge yanti parantapa.
He Bharata, he Parantapa, every time Bhagavan Arjuna, parantapa, scorcher of enemies means what? Relatively you are a scorcher of enemies as a warrior. But every jnani is also a scorcher of enemies. You know that? Who are the enemies? Shadripavaha, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsarya. No, they are the six enemies sitting there. The jnanam comes. Burns them all into ashes. They'll disappear. This is Lord Shiva, personifies what? Jnanam. Manmatha is a desire. Manmatha goes to visit. Manmatha goes to disturb him. Somehow to draw his attention to help make him get married to Parvati. In Kumarasambhavam it comes. It's a lot of work. Manmatha works very hard. Okay, to get him married to Manmatha is a desire, personification of desire. You know why Manmatha, desire is called Manmatha? Manaha matnati iti Manmatha. It churns the mind. Desire rises means it doesn't remain quiet. Mind, desire churns the mind. Desire comes, you start planning. How to do? What to do? Okay, we need lunch. What to do? What is the food? Other place, how to serve? Do you have questions? All this scheming comes, isn't it? When the desire arises, to fulfill the desire, we start planning. The scheming is called what? Churning. So the desire is called churner of the mind. Manmataha. Manaha matnati iti manmataha. And the desire comes and stands in front of Lord Shiva, who is jnanam. He opens his eyes and sees a heap of ashes. The story, isn't it? Which means the desire cannot stand. That's a story. That's a different thing. So what I want to say, okay. As Mama goes, Buddhi goes. Okay. Sarge Yanti means, what I want to say here, all this, where there is jnanam, where there is knowledge, all the six cannot be there. Knowledge and the sixfold enemies cannot coexist. Where there is ajnanam, then all the six can exist. That's why I told long ago, knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. Shadari. Shannam arihi shadari. Shadari, you all go to East Mahalakshmi temple, have shadari. Something old kindergarten lesson. I've been telling every class. You keep, no, the feet, the cap stand for jnanam. You have the jnanam on your head, all the six have to resolve. Shannam ari shadari. Enemy of the six is knowledge. Okay? In fact, every wise person says what? Scorcher of enemies. In the jnani's mind, enemies cannot stand. Okay? Another meaning. But here, as a kshatriya, as a highly righteous person, the enemies of the real kshatriya are the wrongdoers, adharmis. And this highly righteous kshatriya, who always protects dharma, he will be the scorcher of wrongdoers, people who go against dharma. He parantapa, he bharata, vendatha kalaveshitike. He parantapa, he bharata, he says what? Icha dvesha muttena. It's all because of, basically root cause is ajnanam. Because ajnanam, naturally you are helplessly, there are diseases come. So you don't need to, in fact, shastram, the more you understand shastram, more you'll be relieved of the guilt. Don't need to worry about, if you're angry, please be angry. Don't need to worry about being angry. Understand why you are angry. When you are angry, you are not at all comfortable. You want to get a discomfort you go through when you have anger, understand why there is anger. And the shastram says, don't be worried about being angry. Don't be okay, be comfortable. Don't be guilty at be getting angry. And your anger is actually expression of what? The unfulfilled desire, some dissatisfaction, some frustration. No, it's a triggering of the fundamental problem of smallness. Settled on. Therefore, some problem, really. Therefore, the root cause is ajnanam. Therefore, as long as ajnanam is there, ajnanam is not created by anybody. Bhagavan has not given you ajnanam, nor have you created ajnanam. Ajnanam is naturally there. All that you can do as a human being is, you can understand the fact that there is ignorance in your mind. You are ignorant of the truth, you are ignorant of yourself. And that itself is the greatest blessing. If you are exposed to your ignorance, if you can discover your ignorance, it's a great achievement. And you can help, try to resolve it, isn't it? Your ajnanam is there naturally. Because of ajnanam, there are other problems, and which is again, it's in the form of ragadveshas. These ragadveshas alone, because of ragadveshas, whenever you come in contact with the world, you know, what happens? There's an error in the perception of the world, because of which all these pairs of opposites are, you are afflicted by pairs of opposites, you are deluded. That is how you remain deluded in this creation. Okay, so Krishna says, I say you, I can include you, me also in you. But Bhagavan says, all the beings. Bhagavan is third person singular pronoun. Think third person plural verb. Okay, sarva bhutani, all the beings, sarge in this world, sammoham yanti, they get deluded. They remain in delusion. And at the end, they become deluded. Why? Icha dvesha muttena dvanda mohena, because delusion of these pairs of opposites caused by likes and dislikes. Okay? Originally because of the ignorance. Is it clear now? So what dvanda mohas? See, pairs of opposite you go through in your life, no, delude you. Because you mistake them as that something really you have, affected by them. That is because of the ragadveshas you have. Ragadveshas you have because of your erroneous perception of the world. That is because there is erroneous perception of yourself also. That is because you do not know what you are. Is it clear? The order? You do not know what you are. Therefore, there is erroneous perception of yourself. Therefore, the erroneous perception of the world also. Therefore, you have ragadveshas. Because ragadveshas, the perception is wrong. What you go through in life delude you, and in the whole what happens, all the beings remain deluded in this creation. Clear? Okay.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Te dvandva moha nirmuktah.
Te dvandva moha nirmuktah.
Bhajante mam dridhavratah.
Bhajante mam dridhavratah.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Te dvandva moha nirmuktah.
Te dvandva moha nirmuktah.
Bhajante mam dridhavratah.
Bhajante mam dridhavratah.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Yesham tvantagatam papam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Te dvandva moha nirmuktah.
Te dvandva moha nirmuktah.
Bhajante mam dridhavratah.
Bhajante mam dridhavratah.
Okay. Here, we have to be careful in this verse. He says, bhajante, mom bhajante. People reach me. People reach, one meaning is people attain me. One bhajanam means attaining, not singing here. Attaining is one bhajanam. Reaching Bhagavan. And then seeking is also bhajanam. Both means are here. Okay. So you have to understand this in both ways. Who are the people who attain me? Let us understand first. Okay? Mam bhajante means people attain me. Mam bhajante. Who are the people who attain me? Here he says, Yesham pun jananam. Yesham jananam. Of those people. And who are these people? Punya karmanam. People of righteous actions. People who stopped consciously doing wrong actions. Thereby people who are involved only in righteous actions. Knowing the value of dharma. Who are living a life of dharma. Whose actions are governed by dharma. Are people of punya karmanaha. Okay, punya karmanaha janaha. So punya karmanam jananam. Of those people who are of righteous actions. Okay, such people. And also not righteous actions, who are also done only, who have earned punyam through all their other rituals and worships and prayers, etc. Apart from doing the right things. So punya karmanam jananam papam tu antagatam. Yesham papam tu antagatam. For them, papam antagatam means all their sins also have come to an end. So punya karmanam means righteous people who live highly righteous life have earned only punyam, avoided doing the wrong things. Thereby whose papams have come to an end. means papam have come to an end means what? Who are free from both punyam and papam. See, being free from punyam and papam means they are free from the notion that I am the enjoyer. See, having all the punya papams, coming to an end. Papam antagata means papams have come to an end. Having all the punya papams coming to an end means putting full stop to punya papams means what? Being free from punya papams. Becoming free from punya papams. How do these people become free from punya papams? Not by exhausting everything. Just by freeing themselves from the notion that I am the enjoyer. These people who are free from the notion that I am the enjoyer, thereby they are free from all punya papams. All their punya papams have come to an end. Just by seeing the fact that they're free from the notion that I am the enjoyer. Because they're free from the notion I am the doer also. Why? Because they do not have identity with the body mind complex anymore. Why? They have the vision of the self truth. They know I the knower and the Atma the consciousness. People of clear vision of their self, who are objective towards their own body mind complex, who do not have identity with the body mind complex, and knowing the swarupam of the self being consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness, who are absolutely free from the notion that I am the doer and thereby I am the enjoyer. People who got their ahankara resolved for good are the people who are free from punya papams, and they are the people who are said to be of the people whose papams have come to an end. There's no way papam will come to an end. Such people. Dvandva mohan nirmuktaha. Now they are free from all forms of paths of opposites. They are free from the delusion caused by paths of opposites also. Nirmuktaha. Muktaha means free. Nirmuktaha means what? Nischayena muktaha. Isn't it? Nirmuktaha means totally freed from the hold of all paths of opposites. Free from the delusion caused by paths of opposites. They are completely free. Paths of opposites do happen. They do not afflict them anymore. Death happens, birth happens, success comes, failure comes. Things will not change. The world will be as it is. Before jnanam, how the world was. The same world will continue to be there after jnanam also. Before, every small thing was afflicting you. After jnanam, things do not afflict you. That's called what now? We say, dvandva moha nirmuktaha. Being free from the delusion of opposites, not being afflicted by situations, is being free from the delusion of paths of opposites. Why? No more enjoyership, no more doership. You are free from the notion that I am the doer and the enjoyer, because your perception of yourself has changed. Isn't it? The perception of the world also has changed. Therefore, there is no more dvandva moha vinirmuktaha. And such people, so, punya karmanam jananam yesham papam tu antagatam, those people dvandva moha vinirmuktaha are free from the delusion of the paths of opposites. Such people, dridha vrataha here means people of firm understanding. Dridha vrataha, Mam bhajante. And people of firm conviction, firm commitment, convinced commitment, isn't it? Bhagavan is the only source of happiness. Bhagavan is my swarupam. People of clear, doubt-free vision, dhrida vrataha, such people mam bhajante. They attain me in terms of knowledge. They attain me means, they reach me means, they discover me, Bhagavan, as their own swarupa. This is one meaning. Okay? Otherwise, even to seek Bhagavan, you must have punya. So people, so yesham tu papam antagatam means what? Punya karmanam. So consciously avoiding the wrong actions and consciously involved only in the right actions, thereby people have earned punyam. Is it? Such people, papam yes antagatam means relatively they have resolved their punya pavams. Not totally. Relatively or free from punya pavams. Not absolutely, relatively. And such people also, dvandva moha vinir muktaha, relatively, at least they being capable of managing their situations, and they are able to focus with a firm commitment, they are able to focus on the attainment of knowledge of the truth, obtaining as their own self. And those people also see me, seek me. See, even to seek Bhagavan, you need punyam. And to resolve in Bhagavan, you need much greater jnanam. For jnanam, you need much more punyam. Isn't it? Which means, because it is the antakaranam, using which alone you have to have the vision, isn't it? That's why instrument of knowledge, antahkaranam, not bahyakaranam. Using the bahyakaranams, you have only seen Bhagavan's rupam. Bhagavan's swarupam, you can't use this. You have to see through the eye of knowledge, as we say, isn't it? Only through the mind. And for which the mind must be what? It must be pure and steady, means it must be non-disturbable mind, isn't it? So all these raga, dveshas, kama, krodha, lobha, mohas, when they are there, the more they are there, definitely the more you are disturbed, you cannot focus. For the mind to have certain degree of the disposition to have the vision, definitely one needs to live consciously a life of dharma. Otherwise, no way of having the vision of the truth, because there is no subtler and abstract reality other than the reality. What needs to be understood is the subtlest, abstract. And the Shastram does promise, while living, if you discover what you are, if you can be objective towards the world, and you are definitely free. We need not change the world, nor do we need to change ourselves. If we change the perspective, that is what is moksha, that is enough. For which you need jnanam, by which you can resolve the ajnanam. We'll continue, actually, the 28th again we'll see afterwards, okay? 28 and 30, all three verses we'll see again.